let's go and see. We talked about how to really handle different situations. Let me just give me a second here. All right. Hope you brought your Bibles. We're going to study. Let's go to. Last week we talked about coping with guilt. How to cope with depression and disappointment, and how to figure out how to leave your past behind. We're going to talk about how to deal with a guilty complex. No, we're going to deal with how to overcome life. Okay, let's go to our Bibles. So 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9, or verses 12 to 13. This is the Overcoming Life series, the how-tos. How to handle temptation. Anybody ever get tempted to quit or go back to the same old situations? Let's see what the Bible says. How to overcome temptations. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 to 13. Paul talking to the church at Corinth. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There had no temptation had taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted beyond or above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape. Everybody say, a way of escape. But that you may be able to bear it. Everybody say, I can bear it. Say, there's no temptation can overcome me. So let's look at what the scripture says. We've looked at different things. Don't think that you're beyond ever being tempted. There's nobody in this room that is not susceptible to being tempted by the old lifestyle. If your flesh is, your flesh can rise up anytime. You always have the flesh. You're not born again in your flesh. Your flesh will want to do the same things it did before it was born again. The only part of your being is your spirit is born again. Your mind needs to be renewed because your mind is not intact with the Word of God. And that's why we have to continually renew our mind. That's a continual basis. And do something with our body. Our position here is that, or the outcome we want is that being tempted is, the idea is that it's not a sin to be tempted, but giving into temptation is a sin. You must not wait to be tempted. You must be doing something to help yourself not to ever be tempted if you're weak in some area. If you don't want to be tempted, if you don't want temptations to follow you, don't act like interested in whatever it is you're having trouble with. Don't go peeking in an area or going in an area where you shouldn't be going. If you're on a diet, don't go into a bakery. Right? If you're kind of trying to quit drinking, don't go to the bar just to listen to music. You know? If you have problems with pornography, well, you might have to do something with that computer. Put it in an area where everybody can see you. Right? And give everybody, put some locks on it or something so that you don't have to watch different things. As an introduction, we can say that we can overcome any kind of temptation according to Scripture. Anything that comes our way. We live in a world of temptations. The devil is called the tempter. He will do whatever he can to get you into his grip and down the road into bondage and right into despair. I've known people, personally known pastors, ministers who maybe perhaps thought they were not susceptible to temptation, But God ran into bondage with different areas, and today they've lost the ministry. And there's no difference between you and I. If we give into our temptations, we can go back to, of course, bondage. We found someone said they could not quit. They could not stop pornography. And there's a lot of Christians, maybe perhaps here tonight, that have problems with pornography and different things that is associated with pornography. And I've heard, you know, when I went to different meetings, different ones, pastors that are pastors' conferences, they have, some of them have problems with pornography and different things that are associated with that. And they seem to can't help themselves. So that's called bondage. It's called bondage when you can't seem to help yourself. And, watching pornography will lead you to other things. And so we need to understand those things. And if you're, some men think that they can be free from those deviant desires just because you get married. Just because you get married doesn't end that area. I've known men and women who are tempted and who are got themselves into, a sex trap with pornography and different things that come along with it. And so they had to learn. It's pretty quiet in a church like this when you start talking like this. I could go on further and tell you some other details, but I don't want to frighten you. And so I need to be honest with you about different things so that you understand, so that we're talking about problems in life series, because Christians have real problems. 50% of Christians, after they're married, will, separate and get divorced. Some of them are actually separated in their hearts, but they're still living together and doing their own thing. That's not real marriage, So we need to not get into despair if you're into, if you were into temptation, now you're into despair, and then you're into bondage, and we don't have to be in despair. Anyone can get into a temptation. It's harder and harder to sometimes break free from the cycle. But you can get out of it. Some people get so involved in a temptation of a certain sin that their mind begin to think that you cannot get out of it. So they're stuck in it. Their mentality is that I can never be free. The devil lies to people that they can never be free, and then they get condemned or feel condemnation. And that condemnation doesn't come from God, doesn't come from the Spirit of God, it comes from the devil, and maybe your unrenewed mind begins to take over. Then you start negative talk. So God has other plans for us. He wants to make a way for us to overcome. So we all get tempted at one time or another. Everyone is tempted with something at some point in their life, as our scriptural text has indicated for us. You don't have to be quick to judge and look down on someone when they fall into some kind of temptation, because you might be the next one. I've seen different ones condemning others. I've even seen pastors or ministers on television who condemn other people for different sins, or different pastors, and then they themselves fall into it. The Bible is very clear on that. The Amplified Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, therefore let the one who thinks he stands firm or immune to temptation, being overconfident and self-righteous, take care that he doesn't fall into the sin and condemnation. So we must be free, and we must be free. We should understand this, that we shouldn't judge other people. When they fall, we must give them, extend the great hand of grace and begin to encourage them to get out of it, that they can be free. There's all kinds of temptations. Temptation comes to us from every side and every kind of shade. We need to be sure that we are standing on solid ground, or we ourselves may fall. We can't be sure. We can be sure not to fall. We need to follow what God's word says, and so we can be sure. What people fall for are not what other people might be tempted. You, like yourself, if you, somebody else falls on some area and you're not, you haven't fallen, but that might not be your weak area. You know, if you brought a bunch of food over my house, and I'm not one given to food. I can eat my share, but I'm not tempted to food. Some people are tempted to chocolate. I can tell you my wife's sins. I mean different ones, you know. I mean, if I hung around people who smoke every day all day long, and pretty soon I might smoke. I don't go to bar rooms because I was in that life before, because I would sooner or later give into drinking. So it's been some 40 years I haven't done anything like that. So I don't go there. I don't go to a place for people who drink. I walk out and leave, because I don't like people who drink, because they're not themselves. They're taken over by another spirit. That's why it says there, you can go by a spirit. It comes in a bottle. And you can drink it and you feel nice and fuzzy, and then you're not yourself anymore. So what other people fall for might not be what you might be tempted with. For instance, someone, as we mentioned, who wants to quit smoking or overcoming a habit, some might get tempted to go another direction. Say someone who gives into depression about their past failures. They keep thinking about their past failures. They're tempted to think about their past failures. And so they get down in the dumps again. I don't know if you ever had that situation in your life, but maybe tendency, a lot of people, they think about their past and how bad it was, and then you start forgiving, you start feeling bad about yourself, and then you cry about yourself, and you pamper yourself, and then you just roll into a little ball, and you're crying all night. You don't want to get into depression. So others may be thinking about giving into a habit that they were delivered from. You might want to go back to that same lifestyle, but you need to be free by making yourself available to other areas of thinking. So it's not just obvious sins or problems that we all are accustomed to think about. The enemy will bring all kinds of thoughts and feelings to your remembrance or your mind and touch your emotions that can be difficult to restrain yourself from going back into that same area. And he'll condemn you for the things that he's the one that brought to you. And talks to you about what kind of a Christian you are, and tells you different things. So he condemns you for thinking even about those things and feeling like you do, to sin. But temptation is not a sin. So you need to understand, if you're tempted with a sin right now and you're struggling with it, to go back to a certain area, it's not a sin to be struggling with a temptation, but it's a sin to begin to go out and do it, perform it. The Bible said that even Jesus was tempted. The Son of God himself was tempted. In Hebrews 4:15 it says, "For we have a high priest, we have not a high priest which cannot be tempted with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, and yet without sin." And the Bible says that Jesus, the Son of God himself, suffered temptation. He was in all points tempted and yet without sin. Even though he did not sin, he was nevertheless tempted. So we shouldn't feel bad when we're tempted. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, the King James Version says, And be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. It's okay to be angry, but you don't have to do something stupid when you're mad. Some people will write all their sins and all their things on Facebook and social media and tell everybody about what they're suffering. You know, you can easily catch people by the way they talk on the Facebook. You can tell exactly where their mind is at. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So what you say is where you're at. What you say is what you're thinking about. Because your mind, your mouth will follow your mind, what you think about. Temptations come from outside and not inside you. So the temptation is not inside you, it's outside. So you must stand firm and resist temptations that are coming against you. No matter how you feel or how many times you get into temptation, just keep resisting those temptations. Stand your ground, stand firm. Like James chapter 4, verse 7 says, resist the enemy. Or you could say resist whatever it is. Resist that ice cream. And it'll flee from you. It'll melt someday. Many don't know that it's the enemy. And he keeps telling you that God is giving you this temptation. God is trying you. He's testing you. The enemy is a defeated enemy, but he's still around doing what he can to tempt you. You have to think about these things because obviously, you know, you might not even know you're tempted to do certain things that you're not. He's trying to get you into certain areas. Like feeling sorry for yourself is a big temptation for a lot of Christians. Feel sorry for themselves. I'm the only one. Why do I have to come to church myself? Why doesn't my husband come? Well, shut up and go to church. Amen. That's what you have to do, right? Go to church. First of all, you should have married the man who said he's going to be there when he was actually already in church. Amen. Find somebody there. Don't find him at the racetrack. Gambling. Or somewhere else, you got to find a man who's already in church. He's already serving God. He wasn't somebody that wasn't there. It's like, you know, I've had people say, I want to get married. You come in my office. And I said, okay, so, you go to church? Oh, yeah. Your husband go to church? This guy goes, no, he don't go to church yet. I'm going to make him. I'm going to make him go to church and he wants to do it right now. He loves me. Well, he doesn't love you. Not even. They love me, but they don't. That doesn't happen, see? So we have to understand. So the devil is going to send somebody in your way or some activity in your way, and he's going to push you to the limit. That's why I don't take invitations to certain things. You know, if you're getting married and you have served liquor in your place, I'll probably leave after you open up the first bottle. So, because I can't take chances. Some people that they had problems with infidelity before they were saved. They were just running around everywhere with anybody. You know. And you have to protect yourself. My pastor said to me, he had a problem. He used to sell pornography many years ago. Now God uses them in another way. God uses them. Well, he never used them in that way, but God used them, and his family, I guess, was involved in selling and had a store or business like it. And then he said he got out of it. He was free from it, got born again, came to church, came into ministry. He said everywhere he went, he would never have the TV on whenever he went somewhere. He'd always unplug it, wouldn't watch the television. He didn't want to tempt himself. That's a good way to do it. So the devil will try to put things in your way to tempt you. You might be tempted to gossip and tell lies about people or just talk against them. That's a hard one for Christians, to gossip. They call it fellowshipping after church. Hey, Beth, you know, we're going to talk about Joe here. And all his sins, what he's been doing, how I saw him do this. So the devil is called the tempter. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 says, the devil is called the tempter. And when the tempter came to Jesus or to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made into bread. And at that time, Jesus was hungry. He was appealing to his flesh. And the devil, if you were someone who always felt sorry for yourself and you're going through trouble, the devil might come to you at that time, listen, you know, why are you doing all this? You might as well give in. Why don't you just go out and have a great time? You know? So, it's a Wednesday night. Well, we go after service. You know, we'll meet over there. We know two things for sure. Number one, everybody will be tempted at some point in their life. You say, well, I'm too old to be tempted. No, wait a minute. The devil knows how to, he knows how to create some more new ones that you never had before. I mean, if you ask Miss Pearson, she's lived a long time, she'll tell you about temptations. If you follow her, she'll take you to church. Number two, so everyone will be tempted, number one. Number two, it's common to everyone. So you're not alone when it comes to temptation. Everybody, it's common. Everybody has it. The Bible says that Jesus, you come to a place in your life, maybe you're going to use all the strength you have, plus the grace of God and everything else, to set yourself free away from that temptation. Jesus had so much pressure to give into temptation, but he resisted giving into the sin. He showed us how to overcome all temptations. Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3 says, looking unto Jesus, that means we need to look to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, our faith, the faith that he's given us, we're able to endure. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In other words, you can give up in your mind because, you know, you're thinking about something else. Put your mind on the main thing. Put your mind on Jesus and the fact that he's the author and finisher of your faith. He's given you faith to the place where you can resist those things. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So, you know, the Bible said that Jesus was tempted beyond he had sweats of drops of blood. So tempted, he came, that blood came from his forehead. This is referring to the garden when he was tempted to quit going to the cross for us and suffering and dying and going through all hell and being separated from his Father and giving up his place for us. Notice what he prayed here in Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but as thou wilt. And he was in a place where he was praying to God. You know, he's continually, you know, a good place to, you know, here's something we need to think about. Jesus, what Jesus did in time of temptation, he went to God. He went to his Father and he prayed. How many people know it's a good time to pray? Go to your Father and pray. Right? Go to your Father and he began to pray the prayer of consecration and dedication and submission to his Father. That's the kind of prayer. That's the only prayer you pray when you say, if it be your will. Because sometimes you don't know what God wants you to do, but you have to say, Lord, if you want me to do this, I'll do that. Whatever it is you want me to do, but whatever you want, Father, if it's your will, I want to do it. I'm yielding my body to you. I'm giving myself to you. So that way you can get out of the temptation by giving yourself to the will of God. Submitting your life to God. Submitting your whole being to God. Submitting your body. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12, giving your body, giving your flesh to God. Say, God, I'm going to hand this over to you to help me out. I'm giving you my mind, and I'm going to use my mind to think on the things of God. You know, Philippians 4:9 says, think on these things. And Romans 12 says, 12:3 said, they were fainting in their mind. When you're going through a temptation, your mind is being assaulted with all kinds of thinking. Amen? Temptation will cause you to think differently. We're talking about how to deal with temptation. So two things we know for sure from the scripture, that everybody will be tempted. And it's common. Secondly, it's common to everybody. All human beings will have temptation. So you're not the only one that's ever going to be tried with temptation. It comes in many kinds of shapes and colors. It's important to guard your mind on what you focus on. We see the scripture here. The Bible says that you can be fainting in your mind. It's how we're thinking. So he saw Jesus when he was tempted. He went to his father. He says, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, why would Jesus pray that? You know, he's praying out of showing us his humanness and revealing to us that he was human. He gave up, the Bible says, he gave up his deity. He gave up his ability. He was not God's son. God's son as far as his deity, walking. He was walking like you and I would walk, and that's why he had to be anointed by the Spirit of God. And so he's praying. Say, "Oh Father, if it be possible." I mean, you have to understand, Jesus is praying here. And sometimes when we're going through a temptation, now he's tempted to quit. You know, he's praying in the garden. He's tempted to quit. You know, he could just say, "Lord, I'm not doing this. Let Maxine die and go to hell on herself." Hey? Let Bill go ahead. And no, you know, he's thinking about you. So he's praying. He says, "Let this cup pass from me." Notice what he said when he began to submit. "Nevertheless, not as I will." You see, this is the thing about temptation. It's not what, you know, your flesh wants. It's what your spirit should be doing. Is that you're leaning on God. We understand this. Your flesh is always want to give up, or your mind as well. Your flesh is part of that. You're thinking. And so, but as you will. Jesus saw that he was made to be a sin offering, that he was to suffer and endure some real difficult times. Isaiah said he didn't even resemble a man. He was so disfigured. Isaiah 52:14 says, "Just as many were horrified by the sight of you, he was so disfigured, he no longer looked like a man." This is Isaiah 52:14, the New English translation. In Isaiah 50:6, this is what Jesus is looking at. That's why I'm saying, you know, when you're trying to, you know, you're like, he was looking at that before he was going to the cross. He's looking at this. He's looking forward. That's what he had to fight against, the fact to not give in to. The fact he had to either see this and quit, or see us on the other side born again. Yeah. The Bible said he did not faint in the Romans. We looked at the scripture in Hebrews 12. Jesus didn't faint because he looked at something else. He didn't look at this part. And you and I have to see beyond the Saturday night, one night stand. You know, after the bar clears up and, you know, and you go home, you know, and then you're left all alone when that man or woman leaves your house or your car and you're all alone. Now you have to face Pastor. and you have to face your wife or husband, and you're left alone. And this is guilt. Guilt comes in. Why does guilt come in? Because it's built in you so that you can feel bad for what you're doing. If you didn't have any feelings, you'd go kill someone and eat supper tomorrow and not think nothing of it. So you're not a, you know, what do you call those, psychopath? Well, you feel bad. You should feel bad when you go and sin. You should feel bad. You say, well, I feel bad. Well, you should be. When people come to me and tell me that, well, you should feel bad. That's what I tell them. That's normal. You should feel bad. It's good for you to feel bad. That's what David said. It's good for me to have been afflicted. Otherwise, I could have been doing it again. Okay, we'll move on. He didn't like that too much. Okay. So, he said in Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to the smithers and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. You know, even if somebody spat on you right now, how would you feel? You know, you would lash back out. You would say, you know, that's not nice. Would you say that? Or you would use some other words. You're not being nice. You'd say, I'm going to sue you. You might have AIDS or something. Or whatever sickness they got. Rabies. So he went to hell for every one of us. He had so much pressure not to go forward to save us from all hell and punishment. He was made a sin offering for us. 2 Corinthians tells us so. 5:21, Paul says he was made to be sin, or a sin offering for us, who knew no sin. Jesus didn't know no sin. He didn't have to go to the cross, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Right now we're standing here free, and we're our spirits are righteous before God, not because you did something, but God gave you something. You know, here's what I'm thinking. I was thinking about this today. I'm studying, closer look at the ministry gifts. Jesus called me to the ministry. He called me to the ministry. I had an encounter with God. I had a few encounters with God. Otherwise, I would have never been into the ministry, because he had to convince me to come in, because I knew what I was. I knew the kind of failure I was, and I knew everybody knew what I was. So if I went to the ministry and told them God called me, I know people's going to laugh at me. I know how I'd feel. I know what people would feel. So God gave me some supernatural encounters to keep me in. I didn't understand that till after. And so the Bible says, and I think it's 2 Timothy 1:9, it said that when God called me from my mother's womb, not wound. You know, I'm missing these teeth. And you better pray. You better pray that I get some real fast. I blame the fact that I'm Ojibwe, but really it's my teeth, or the lack of teeth. You know, if you lose your bottom teeth, I tell you, you know, you're not the same person. And the fact that I'm on television with no teeth on, if I was 24 years old, I'd never do it. Right? Some of you can't even come out of your house without putting on your eye makeup. Or putting on your teeth or whatever, your eyeball, whatever you got, you know. Yeah, it's true. So half of you doesn't exist. If you really think of it, you got a false arm and eyeball is not actually not yours. Your teeth are, you know, 50% of them are not really yours. You know, your hair is not your real hair color. Amen. Ernie, don't cry. So God doesn't send us temptations, really. He don't send us no temptations. People say, wow, man, God sent me these temptations, these hardships. I'm really suffering. Pray against God that he'd take these out of me. Well, if it's God send you those, that's good for you. But if God don't send you temptation. So some say God sends them, but, you know, if God sent it, it's good, right? James 1:13 says, let no man say, or no person say, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. The next verse tells us why man is tempted and why you're tempted. So don't feed your urges or any of your desires. Don't put more fire or put more wood in the fire. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Verse 15, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's not talking about dying physically. It might lead up to that eventually, but it's talking about dying spiritually. You don't feel like yourself anymore. When you're sinning as a Christian, you don't feel like yourself. You're just not the same anymore. Anybody knows that. If you're doing something, it's not right. You know, we like to call it anything except sin, right? You say, well, I'm out of the well right now. I'm not doing very well. But we don't say, like, I'm really bad. I'm in bad sin. I'm just out of fellowship right now. So you excuse yourself just a little bit. So you need to be, you can starve your evil desires or your fleshy desires, and you can start feeding your faith. The Bible said right there that when a man is tempted, he is drawn away of his own lust. In other words, you're getting too fleshly over here. Maybe you need to stay off whatever you're doing there. Start feeding your spirit. But listen, God makes a way out, because he did say, as we read it earlier, the outset of this time, 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says that God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you're able to stand. He says, with the temptation also make a way of escape. God will always make a way of escape. You know, you can't ever say that, you know, hey, I was so tempted, I gave in, and I just couldn't get my way out. Well, you're lying about that. Because God will make a way for you to get out of that thing. God will make a way right now for you to get out of, no matter what you're going through. You think you're up to this much, I talked to somebody yesterday who fell off, went back into drug addiction, is on the street right now, and became a Facebook friend of mine because they want to talk to me. And I saw this Facebook, I said, I don't recognize it. Who is this? I check up and just to see, you know, didn't seem look like it, you know, said, oh yeah, I kind of recognize this person. I kind of don't, but you know, I just seem to, I need to go here. I went here. And all of a sudden somebody said, you know, Pastor Roma, I love you. And I really miss Faith City Church. But I'm back out there again. And I said, well, you know, they can't seem to quit. They were tempted to go back into that thing. I gave in to my addictions. But I said, God has a way for you. I don't care how bad you feel. You see, when you're in a certain sin, the Bible says you're into bondage now. And then you're in the bondage. You can't stop on your own. And then you get into what they call despair. That's what the scripture said. We just read it. And despair is when you have no, you're hopeless. You just have no hope in the natural. You can't see any way out of the problem that you gave into. You don't see a way out. And so you're in that, and you cannot see which way to go. You're stuck in it. And so here's what I would say, is that your flesh deceives you that there is no way out. Your humanness tells you, yes, there is no way out. Yes, on your own, there's no way out. And there's always a way out. The Bible says that God will deliver you from any kind of situation that you're in, no matter how bad you're feeling, just give me a chance here to show you another scripture. I want to show you the scriptures, because sometimes your thinking gets so muddied. So muddied you can't tell how to find your way. From, you know, being in the clear water, if you dive in the water and you see mud, you can't, you know, it's all murky, right? Long as somebody has a thinking that, you know, there might be a hope, you can get out of it. If you have the tiniest seed that, you know, I want to do something about this, but I'm overwhelmed, you can get out of it. For the Bible says, first chapter of Luke 37, it says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know that you're never without God. God is always there. He says that God is a very present help in a time of trouble, the psalmist says. He is here right now. Matthew 18, just find somebody you can agree with and say, hell, can you agree with me? Now, next time somebody asks you to pray for them, the prayer of agreement, tell them, okay, you pray and I'll agree. Because I'm not the one that's asking, you're the one. You pray and I'll agree. See, if I can agree with you, if you pray correctly, then I can agree with you. That's the way you should pray for someone. Don't just go ahead and lay hands on them and pronounce a blessing upon them. No, let them pray. That's their faith. See? So here, it's possible to rescue anybody, or anybody can rescue themselves if they understand this, but most of the time they don't, because they're stuck in their flesh. Their mind is preventing them from seeing it. They're blind. So, here's Psalm Isaiah 49, 24 and 25, the Common English Bible says this. Here's what people feel when they're so stuck. Now they gave into the temptation. They find themselves in bondage. Now they're in despair. They're crying out. They don't know what to do. Here's what it says in the Common English Bible, Isaiah 49, 24. Is it possible to rescue victims from someone strong, or even something strong and something so cruel? You know, addictions of any sort are so cruel and so powerful over the person. It actually dominates and takes over the person's physical mind and flesh that you can't see a way out of it. I don't know if you've ever been addicted to something. You know, it's horrible. It's horrible. I watch people change from who they were to somebody they were not. They're not. They're not the same person. I remember people telling my brother, you know, is your brother around here? You know, your brother, you know, man, he's a nice guy. When he's drinking, he's just another guy. He says here, but the Lord has promised to fight on our side to rescue our children, or even us, from those strong and violent. God is able to rescue you. No matter what your difficulty might you find yourself, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God will make a way out. He'll make a way for you to bear this situation, although it's tough. And he says, with every temptation, there's a way of escape. But if you messed up, like we've talked about, the Bible says, 1 John 9 says, he will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We've been tempted because we've given to our own lust. You've given into your lust, the Bible says there. Lust is in your flesh. It entices. The one who entices you is the devil, is the tempter. Somebody said, you know, you ever see, I don't know if you ever had if you saw a cat somewhere, and you come out of a building somewhere and started rubbing on your, you know, you're going to walk away, and that kitty kept coming to you. I've had that happen to me. or even a dog. And they follow you. But he says, Kitty, don't come. Go back, Kitty. Kitty, go home. And then you keep feeding them yummy yummies, whatever they are. And all of a sudden, they're at your house. They keep coming to your house. These kitties, I don't know why they keep coming. Well, don't feed them. Don't feed those kitties. The next thing you got about 10 of them. They're all joining and singing in choir. Meow, meow, meow. Right? They want what you have. You guys, so that's the same thing with temptations. Don't give it to them. We said, is that that easy? Well, it seemed like, you know, the other night, we watched a movie of Samson. My wife and I watched a movie on Netflix called Samson. Yeah, anybody know what Samson is? Or do I have to teach you another thing? Well, he gave in to his temptation. He loved woman. You know? And so he was able to, you know, that was a great example there. He lost a lot, but thank God, God had mercy on him. Don't be like Samson. So, two things that will help you. One is the grace of God. You can't do this on your own. Consider the grace of God. Consider God's word. Consider that he's able to help you out. And understand this, that God will give you the faith to overcome all these things. Your faith, just enough faith, a small enough faith to overcome any obstacle in your life. Be humble. Be open and say, God, I have a problem. Go to somebody. If you have to, go find somebody. Say, you know what? I have a problem over here. I need to tell you about it. And I need to be set free tonight, right now. I want to be set free. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't be like Pharaoh, Pharaoh, when he had the children of Israel, and God kept sending him those troubles, or what do you call those, remember the frogs were everywhere? He's all over the frogs everywhere in his kingdom, all over in his palace, in his bed, everywhere, in his pillows, frogs everywhere. And he calls over to Moses, get these frogs away from me. Tell your God to get these frogs away from me. He said, okay. Moses said, okay, I'll do it. Moses said, I will. So when do you want them out? He says, we'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow? Don't think about it. Do it right now. So let's begin to do it right now. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us. And we can get over every temptation because God has a way of escape for everyone. He said, well, how's he going to do it? Well, I don't know how he's going to do it. But he'll do it. Have faith. He'll do it. Everybody say, he'll do it. Let's go ahead and stand up and pray. Father, we want to thank you for the word of faith. In the name of Jesus, if you all stand, please, all those that are sitting down, let's go ahead and stand. In Jesus' name, praise God. Jimmy, praise God. Bless you. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm standing. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you tonight. We're giving it to you right now in the name of Jesus. We come to you wholeheartedly, and we know temptation's all around us, and it might even lurk its ugly head somewhere around. And so we're not going to be tempted to quit, to give in to any kind of temptation of sin. And we command you, devil, to get your hands off us. We command you to move out in the name of Jesus. We're totally sold out to God. We give ourselves to God. We submit to God tonight. We resist the devil, and he has to flee. And so, Father, we consecrate our lives to you, dedicate our lives to you, rededicate our lives, and say, Lord, you have me, spirit, soul, and body. And with the grace of God and the faith that you've given me, I'm able to overcome every temptation and every trial. I'm not going to quit. Thank you for forgiving me of giving into these areas. In the name of Jesus, I'm not looking back. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.